listeners, or whatever time you are listening, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com via podcast on iTunes or our website. My name is Zach Gander. I'm here with the wonderful, perfect, most glorious Steve Gandra.
Leave the perfect and most glorious, you know, out, because our guest today knows that that's not true.
I didn't say most smart. I said most glorious.
I think I'm smarter than I am glorious, that's for sure.
You are. Steve and I enjoyed rambunctious debates over lunch and our drive to the radio station today, so we'll save all of that debate for offline discussion, but we're still friends, and we're excited about chatting with you.
Well, one of the great things about great cultures is they support rambunctious debates, and everybody still works together, loves each other, has fun, and produces.
Yeah, that's it. We still like each other. I like you. I just don't agree with you. That has nothing to do with our working relationship.
Well, you know, our guest today is going to tell you how to build a culture that people have debates all the time, and they not only still like each other, but they lead the world in their field by deploring the culture that they have.
Yes, absolutely. And we're gonna be online with Sarah Bird in just a minute. But if you didn't get a chance, we want you guys to chime in. You can send us an email right away, right now, asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. And we will get to your question as soon as we get that. And we would love to chat with you, engage in conversation with you. But also, too, we need to talk a little bit about Jillian, who was our last week's guest, right, Steve?
That's right.
Why don't you go ahead and talk about Jillian, talk about Moz, and then we'll get Sarah Bird on the line.
Well, we had Jillian Musig on our show. Jillian was kind of the founding CEO of what used to be SEO Moz, now Moz. Today we have Sarah Bird, who is the COO of Moz. This is a phenomenal company that leads the world in the whole field of, used to be search engine optimization, now web-based marketing. Really exciting stuff that they're doing. I had the opportunity to attend their MozCon, their annual conference, a few weeks ago, and listen to our guest today, Sarah, speak on her view of culture, which is why we immediately wanted to have her on the show, because she really gets it. And you know, I was surrounded by 1,600 people who paid tuition.
Yeah.
And it wasn't cheap, from all over the world, right, to come and listen to what the Mozers, as they're called, have to say about web-based marketing and inbound marketing and search engine optimization and all the great things that make the web a wonderful place to do business.
And a fabulous business culture, and some stuff that we're going to catch from Sarah that we also caught from Jillian last week. So let's go ahead and welcome Sarah. We're glad you're on the show.
Hello. Hi, Zach. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me, and thank you so much for those kind words. That was a wonderful introduction.
Did we miss anything? Is there anything we need to be corrected on?
No, you guys did a great job.
Well, Sarah's the one who's great and awesome and glorious.
Right, yeah. And she lives in my neighborhood. We're neighbors, just found out we're neighbors, Capitol Hill, Seattle, so that's exciting.
Yeah, great minds think alike.
We live in the best neighborhood in the entire city.
I think so.
Absolutely, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Sarah. You're married, you have a 19-month-old baby in the house, and you're the COO of Moz. And tell us a little about yourself.
Well, you've summed up a lot of the key points. The most important things to me are definitely my family, my husband, my son, and I'm also lucky that I have a lot of passion around my work, including the people I work with who inspire me every day and who have agreed to come on board this great journey of trying to change marketing and doing it in a way that is very values based.
Yeah. And I'm actually looking at your profile on moz.com right now. And there are fun facts about you on here. One of which you share with my wife: I'm not afraid of anything except snakes.
Yeah, absolute truth. It's a very strange phobia that I actually did not get until I was in my mid 20s. As a kid, I used to love snakes. I used to hunt garter snakes in the yard, and for some reason in my 20s started getting panic attacks when I saw them. Very strange.
You probably watched too much Indiana Jones. I'm thinking that's what it was.
I did watch a lot of Indiana Jones. Harrison Ford was my first crush in the world.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
From Star Wars, or what yeah. Harrison Ford did you fall in love with?
I think probably the Indiana Jones one is really the epitome.
He was pretty cool.
He was. Did you know they initially wanted to call him Indiana Smith?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that funny? You know, the different paths we can take in life. And,
yeah.
What an impact.
You know, he might have lost all of his Academy Awards over that
yeah,
joint.
I don't know. George Lucas and that other really famous guy who made that movie. What was that guy's name?
Spielberg.
Yeah, that
Steven
guy.
Spielberg, that really famous
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. Sarah's more important. So Sarah's more important, at least through our conversation today. Well, fill us in a little bit on, we had Jillian on last week. And she gave us kind of the foundations behind Moz, and then she went into TAGFI. So a couple of things that we want to hit on the show today is number one, Jillian told us about TAGFI. So we want to review about the TAGFI culture at Moz.com. And then we also want to know what that's like, what that culture is like, what does it mean to live out those values, and then also how you guys went from living those values with an employee base of 8 to now a team of, what, over 130?
Yeah. Great. Well, why don't I start with talking about the development of TAGFI from my perspective. I joined SEO Moz, at the time it was called SEO Moz, because Rand and I had been friends, and he really inspired me as a person. He's someone who I knew to be very intelligent and who I knew had a lot of integrity. He took a round of funding and said, "Hey, you should come and work at SEO Moz." And I left my law practice and decided to join the team. And I was the 8th person. Jillian was definitely part of my decision to come to Moz. And she really inspired me with her generosity and her passion for web marketing. So I came on board with this great group of people, right? And it seemed like just the sky was going to be the limit. So it was really a reality check when that first year proved to be very challenging, right? Business is not easy, and we were a new team trying to do big things, and we were having a lot of very difficult discussions. And the relationships were all getting strained, and these were friendships I really valued. I even officiated Rand's wedding to give
no
you a
way.
Sense of like how close we were, right?
So are you a minister too?
Yeah, I of an internet church, so I don't want
to. Is that the church at the Universal
yes.
Church? Yes.
I don't want to at all. Yeah, so to people who are truly ministers, I don't want to even presume to be at their level.
Yeah.
I feel like that would
well,
be
but you're licensed to marry people. I mean, you know, you can probably bury people too, and I mean, that's important.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience being invited to do that for them. But that gives you a sense of how important the relationship was. So when things were so hard and we just felt like we were disagreeing all the time and that we had so many tough decisions and we weren't seeing them eye to eye, it was very sad. It was very stressful and felt like we weren't being as productive as we could have been. So when we were at one of our board meetings back in the early days in this challenging, challenging time period, a board member, Michelle Goldberg, who's a wonderful, wonderful VC in the area, she said, "Hey, you guys should really do some values work and, you know, get your value statement written down and your mission." And I remember thinking at the time, gosh, you know, we got real problems to solve here. You know, we got real business issues. Why would we take time out of our day to do this? I mean, we know we have values, you know. We knew we had values, so why do we need to do values work? Luckily for us, Michelle is a very patient and persistent woman who we trusted a lot and still do. So we agreed that, okay, well, we'll go ahead and do this. You know, if great companies that we admire have done this and deployed it, then perhaps we should also give it a try. And I'm so impressed with the results of doing that work today. It's really made the culture the place that it is, and it's something special, very special. The first attempt we made at defining our company culture was a really powerful exercise. It changed the conversation from, you know, what are all the things that we're disagreeing about that are, you know, business decisions, to what do we all care about? What are we trying to accomplish? What's the most important thing for us? And once you shift the conversation away from what you disagree to what is important to you, it's amazing how much easier all those business decisions become.
That's huge.
Suddenly you take motivation off the table. You know, instead of thinking like, gosh, why is he she thinking that way? Gosh, you know, that's not a very generous way to think. Or, you know, why isn't she being more transparent? Why isn't she sharing? You know, you suddenly have more efficient and valuable conversations because I know that they're committed to generosity. I know they're committed to transparency. We may just be disagreeing on how to get there. But that was really powerful for us and something we needed, right? Because we needed to make sure we were assuming good intent and building those relationships and reconnecting.
Right.
So say that again, Sarah, because I think that's an important, critical point for building great cultures in any size of organization. Once you shift the conversation away from where you disagree to what was it that you said that you want to focus it on that made such a difference?
To our values, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, our first draft of kind of trying to come up with what our shared values were included some things came very easily, right? We weren't inventing new values. That wasn't the conversation. The conversation was, what values do we share?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you know people or companies can invent new values. I think you have to figure out what are your values. So transparency came very quickly to us. That's the T in tag fee. Generosity came very quickly. We knew that being generous to customers and to employees was important. That came very quickly. I think that empathy was another one that came very quickly. We knew relationships were important to us. So that worked really well, and it worked so well that over the year and a half after that, we continued to use them and realized how much better our communication was and our problem solving was and how much more enjoyable the work became. And we even then further refined those values and said, hey, I think there may be some hidden values, some values that we actually have and that we judge the health of the culture by but are not currently made explicit. And that's when we came up with what you know as Tag Fee Today, which includes some new things, like it included fun, because we realized, like, hey, being a fun is part of our value system. If the work is no longer fun, none of us want to do it. So we said, well, let's make that explicit and make it clear that that's a goal.
Yeah.
We also added exceptional and authenticity. So that's Tag Fee.
So Tag Fee is transparency, authenticity, generosity, fun, exceptional, and empathy, or it's empathy then exceptional, but they're both E's.
Exactly.
Yeah. Way to go. Sarah also is a lawyer, but it doesn't sound like it.
Thank God.
Yeah.
We need less lawyers on the streets.
Well, if we had more cultures like Sarah is leading, we would probably need less lawyers to settle disputes.
Absolutely. We're going to go into our first break, and that's what we're going to talk about when we get back. Less lawyers, more Sarah. We'll be right back.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTCultures or Facebook/Excellent Cultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
We're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, and we are talking with COO Sarah Bird of Moz.com today, and we just went from ex-lawyer to cultural amazement at Moz.com, and we just went through TAGFI. Steve, you look perplexed, like you're ready to say something.
Well, one of the first things that I heard in Sarah, well, before even listening to Sarah share her passion for the culture at Moz, or her passion for culture in any business, one of the first things that I recognized was how she radiated authenticity,
right,
which, of course, I found out later was one of the values. But, I mean, so many firms have all these beautiful words, and they, you know, anybody that's, you know, a mature business these days of any size has missions, has visions, have values. But to this date, and this is my 36th year helping cultures, helping build businesses, build high performance cultures.
Right.
I've not met one CEO who could recite their mission statement without going to the website, plasticized card in the pocket.
Right.
Or
you're in their office and it's hanging
on
the wall
frame,
and they don't
even
know it.
The gold frame on the wall.
Right.
And, you know, here I thought, wow, this is a COO who not only knows the values but lives them.
Right.
And radiates them, and demonstrates them by how she communicates and how she interacts, and thinks they're important enough that, you know, she can spend an hour sharing,
right,
with experts in her field, from, you know, 1,600 experts from all over the world who came to listen. That's somebody that can make a difference. And as our listeners know, the mission of Biz Culture Matters and Excellent Cultures is to help the good guys win. And Sarah is a good guy.
Yeah. Well, good gal.
Good gal. Good gal.
And the other thing I want to highlight
too. And she's from Capitol
Hill. Yeah, and she's from my neighborhood, which I, if I could tattoo it on my arm, I would, but I'm not going to, because then the rest of Seattle would be angry. But I do want to highlight too something you said, Sarah, that I thought was beautiful that our listeners really need to pay attention to, is when you were involved in Moz early on, you were one of the first 8 people on the team. You guys worked collaboratively to come up with these values.
Yeah.
They weren't given top down. You guys helped create that together. That was conversation amongst yourselves of what are we already doing naturally and what do we want to work on and who do we want to be, as opposed to this is what we do and
go do it because I'm the boss.
Right. And go do it because I'm the boss.
And you better, and you better live it, because if not, we have performance reviews that are going to chastise you if you don't.
Well, that comes later. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. But okay, so Sarah, let's get into really the nitty-gritty of it. Why don't you talk about the benefits that Moz really gains and the team and the people of Moz really gain from working with those core values?
Great, absolutely. So there are many, and you know, like a fish in water, I'm sure there are some that I don't even anymore, that are hard for me to see because I'm in it and I'm not working in a non-TAGFI place now. But the ones that are easy for me to pull out are, one I mentioned earlier, the efficient communication. I tell you, decision-making becomes a lot easier when everyone in the company knows what your values are and how you're going to measure success. Because we'll have conversations like, well, what is the most transparent way we can approach this? And what is the most generous way to approach this to the team? What's the most generous way to approach this for customers? You know, are we being empathetic enough? Have we taken time out to put ourselves in that other person or party's shoes? Are we having fun? Have we been making this process as fun as possible? Are we being authentic? You know, are we living with integrity and honesty? So all these things, you know, we tag the, I can recite it by heart because we talk about it, you know, every day. I talk about it frequently in meetings and decisions, and it's just on top of mind because it does make communication so much easier.
Yeah.
Another amazing benefit that, again, we didn't, it's not like we designed these values with the aims of achieving this. It was more like, oh, we're going to uncover and make explicit things that are important to us, and then over time we've recognized these benefits from it. So we have this wonderful, virtuous cycle going on in recruiting and even with our customers, where if you live your life, you know, that in a values-based way, and you talk about that and you tell everyone you're committed to it and ask for people to hold you accountable to it, you're going to end up interacting with people who share similar values, who are also values-driven. So recruiting has become a lot easier for us. We tend to attract people who care about values. So that's been wonderful for us. I can't overstate that enough. And
does that go back to the beginning? Kind of what Steve said is now you guys don't, now that these values have been created, you don't have to police them because you're able to recruit people that are these things.
Yeah, I think that's generally right. I mean, I can definitely add subtlety to that because while everyone we recruit cares about these values and has them, you know, living the values every day does take skills. And
right.
So there's a distinction between having the value and knowing how to live, you know, with integrity or alignment to that value.
Right.
I don't want to paint an inaccurate picture. Definitely, we're not 100% our best selves every day here. That we all have skill building to do with, you know, transparency is the value, but to get there, you have to be a really great communicator.
Yeah.
And communication is a skill. So it takes a lot of time, you know. Empathy as well. You can believe in empathy, but it is actually a skill that, you know, takes a mindfulness, intentionality, you know, practice trying to imagine what the other person is going through. And we've learned, you know, you can't take it for granted, any of us, in our skills or in others, you know, that they may have your values. But sometimes we all need help in building the skills to live those values.
Yeah, exactly. So what else in particular at Moz has living out these values created and the more benefits that you guys get out of living these values and how they relate to your culture?
Yeah, in addition to efficient communication and this virtuous recruiting cycle, we also have a very engaged employee base as well as a customer base. And that's priceless, right? I think that especially in the tech space, top talent can go anywhere. There's a lot of demand. And if people don't feel genuinely bought in, if they don't feel heard, if they don't feel like they can live in alignment with their values, that they're able to be them their best selves and they have support in that, you know, they're gonna drop out either physically or emotionally. So I think that we have increased engagement. You know, people who are engaged, who care about the mission and how you do it, they're going to bring their best efforts. They are going to have the managerial courage to disagree, to express minority viewpoint. They're going to be more creative because they're going to be less filled with anxiety.
That's huge.
So I think that the quality of the problem solving is increased by this engagement as well.
Well, how important is this whole conversation about living values creates engagement in a society that the recent Gallup poll tells us that 70%+ of our workers in America are disengaged, 18% hate their jobs, and the most common reason that people hate their jobs is because they hate their boss and they identify their boss with their job. And, you know, everybody's got all kinds of deeply complex scientific reasons and millions of dollars spent on consultants with systems and processes and, you know, standing around having meetings and singing Kumbaya. And Sarah just told us that engagement comes from authenticity. And living authentically, as is consistent with the values that, not that you wrote on the wall and you want to display, but that are in your heart and you happen to write down so that you could bring clarification to them.
Yeah, I think that statistic, that 70% of employees, you know, feel disengaged, unsatisfied, that's a heartbreaking statistic to me. It really does make you reflect on, for me, it makes me reflect on the skills, that skill issue again, right? I feel really good about being values-based and having everyone understand the values, but having the skills to interact with your manager, right? That all does take some investment. And what I think it's missed often in media and kind of pop culture science around company cultures, there's a lot of idea of like, you have to have a culture budget or something, right? And when people talk about culture investment, they talk a lot about perks and benefits. And I don't think they talk enough about, you know, what is good communication and how do you teach that? What's healthy communication? How do you teach managerial courage? You know, how do you make a team that feels supported, that has clarity in their objectives? So I think that's a really interesting piece of that puzzle that gets left out of the conversation about company culture.
That's beautiful. We're going to go into our second break of the show. We come back, Sarah, could you share with us how you guys teach those communication skills to team members, or how you guys help them hone those? Awesome. We'll be right back. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work?
And we're back with Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. We are talking to Sarah Bird, COO of Moz.com. If you have just missed everything that she's talked about up until now, make sure you catch the podcast on excellentcultures.com. It'll be up the day this show is airing, and we are excited about this conversation. Sarah, you just gave us so much in the first two segments, but let's talk now about how you guys at Moz, in particularly, train and help and equip your people to be better communicators, to be better managerial leads, to be better. It's not just about the cultures, but about the skills that go along with that culture.
And the people who want to learn the skills,
right,
that are part of the culture.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. Because we have that virtuous recruiting cycle going on, I am lucky that people who join Moz generally already want to do this, right? That they've already sort of committed. That's why they're excited to be here, is that they are engaged and they desire and they value a workplace that values these skills. And in terms of, you know, what we do to teach these skills, it's something that we continually struggle with. So I would hate to give anyone the impression that we've nailed it. One of the great things about Moz is that it's a very dynamic organization. It's growing very quickly. You know, we hired 65 people or so in the last year. So with that addition of people, the strategies of teaching and promulgating these kind of cultural skills have to change and adapt. You actually have to use more methods. In the early days, it was a lot easier to get consistent skills and expectations across, because you have more people who are already trained in it, who are sort of understand the culture, who know how to operate within it. So when you add one new person to a group of people who are already skilled, that new person can learn pretty quickly from the people who are there. But when you have, you know, four new people in a meeting and one person who's been here before, you know, then it's harder to, those sort of social cues are not the most effective way anymore, right? Because you have microcultures that have evolved.
Right.
So now, it comes down to great leadership, right? So when you see something, you say something. If you're in a meeting and you see it going badly, then you need to say something and say, hey, you know, I think what you're trying to say is this, but I'm having a hard time hearing you because it's coming across like this, right? We also are trying to have formal training in place from many different voices. One thing I worry about, which we can get into a little bit later, I mean, one of the risks of being so culture focused is that you could end up damaging your diversity, right?
Mm, yeah.
If you want to have a very inclusive environment, how do you accommodate, you know, different styles? Because people do have different styles, and different styles are okay. But on the margins is where it can become, potentially destructive, right? So, right. And how that applies to training is that I don't ever want to train like this is the one dogmatic way that you should handle conflict, because there are many different tool sets, and depending on each person and the dynamics of their group, they may want to try a different tool and a different approach. So I think it's more important to have a diversity of voices and tools offered to the team, whether through we have a wonderful personal coaching program where anyone on the team can sign up to get professional coaching, and that allows them to focus on where their skills are at with a professional coach.
That's great. Are those people inside Moz that do that or outside Moz?
Those people are outside Moz. We don't have an internal 100% dedicated coach at this time. We have a retainer relationship with an organization called Halo where I felt like it was important that employees knew they could reach out directly. They don't have to go through HR or their manager. They can directly reach out to Halo and have a relationship with an outside party.
That's great.
I wanted people to have a sense that what they talked about, that they would get a fair view from someone.
Right.
That there wasn't someone with a stakeholder who was going to be judging them. So that was...
So third-party input is important.
Third-party input is extremely important because I want employees to feel safe. I want everyone on the team to feel safe to get the help that they need. And I wish it wasn't the case that sometimes people felt bad asking for help from their manager or from teammates or from HR. But it's a fact that sometimes they do. And so having a third party they can call directly for that, I think, is very empowering to the team, right?
I can see that. I mean, I lived and worked in a very unhealthy culture for many, many, many years, and the fact that there was no outside third party means you don't talk.
Right.
Because if I talk, this may mean my job, and then this means I'm in trouble, and then this means this.
Right.
And so I think that third party input is a massive thing that, frankly, a lot of firms, companies, organizations have not given or promoted. So that's a beautiful thing.
One of the key components of a culture is it's like an iceberg. I mean, it's the 90% below the water that we don't see, but is going on in people's minds and hearts and conversations and, off the book interaction on social media that is the truth of what's really taking place in the culture. And so often as leaders, all we see is the top 10% of the iceberg, and that's not the culture.
Right.
The culture is something going on below, and it's the conversations that take place, the interactions, all that other thing that we may feel a lot more comfortable talking to a third party about. And just the skills of pulling all that together and managing and leading it in a way that sustains and grows a business like Moz is growing is a skill in itself.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think related to that point, of how do you spread a culture with a growing team and teach skills, I am very committed to everyone owning this culture. And one of my pet peeves are when people talk about, well, why hasn't my HR department developed our core values, and why aren't they teaching the core values, and why isn't my CEO leading this? And it would be wonderful in this world if every HR department and CEO, spent 30% of their job just talking about culture. But I also think that that's not particularly helpful or useful, and that culture... You have the best results and the best culture if everyone is bought in, and that includes leadership, but it is not just leadership. So I hate when conversations become all about why isn't my CEO doing this or that thing. To me, it's a much more powerful it's a powerful initiative when it comes from many different directions. And so when we talk about culture at Moz, we try to make sure that everyone realizes that they have a part to play, that they are a piece of the culture, and that if they see something, they need to say something. If they have a suggestion about how to improve culture, then they should do something. They should have initiative and just do it, because it's not something that someone else is going to create for you. It's a relationship. It's a shared set of understandings and values and beliefs about how work gets done.
Right. That's beautiful.
Very well said. Sarah, where have you seen, you're a lawyer by trade. You shared with us before we got on the show, your experiences about working other places before that did not have a great culture that motivated you to, be part of building, a great culture. Where have you seen great cultures, you know, start to deteriorate or to generate? I mean, what are some of the trouble signs that leaders should look for that are really needs to get paid attention to before it becomes something bigger?
Wow, great question. I mean, some of them are smaller and insidious, and some of them are obvious. You know, I mean, one of the sort of more insidious ones, and obviously I haven't invented this. There's many, many great books that identify this as a problem sign. But when people aren't speaking up in meetings, right? If you have meetings where no one is disagreeing or sharing a viewpoint that is maybe a minority viewpoint, then I think you have that's a sign that you have an unsafe culture, that people don't trust each other.
So disagreeing actively is a good thing.
It's a great thing. And if you have silence and everyone's always nodding their head, yes, 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 you probably have a problem, because reasonable people are always going to disagree, and that's okay. I think that when you look at where decisions get made, are decisions getting made in meetings or are they getting made in the hallway? If decisions are getting made in the hallway, you probably have a problem. So those are some more insidious signs. And then, you know, I think everyone knows the more obvious stuff, right? If you have absenteeism, you probably have a problem. You know,
yeah.
if people are crying every week, you know, that's probably something you need to address.
You sound like you've experienced someplace like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's rare to go through life without having an experience like that. But I'll tell you something that is was helpful for me to think about when I was in an environment like that, that good people, these really, really good people, thoughtful people, caring people, smart people, they can create terrible cultures. I think it's very easy when you're in a terrible culture to be very blamey. You know, it's like, oh, this place is awful, and people are so terrible, and they're, we're just jerks, you know, blah, blah, blah. But that really takes out the fact that it's a relationship, right?
Right.
That I think it's much more, it feels good to be able to just be blamey and try to write people off, but it's a much more complex problem than that, right? Good people, smart people with values can accidentally create terrible cultures. So that's why it's another thing where it can't just be one person's job to bring it, and why no budget is going to fix it. It's a group discussion about norms and what's important to you.
So good people create and can create terrible cultures.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like that one, listeners?
Good people and smart people, she said.
Yeah, good people.
There are geniuses out there
creating terrible cultures
that are horrible to work with.
Yeah. Many
of us. I am one of those people. You could ask my wife. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, so you're a genius that's horrible to work with?
Yeah, I'm a genius that's hard to work
with. Well, I mean, I like working with you.
Well, it's because you're exactly like me.
You know,
like that's part of the issue.
Yeah. Well, so Sarah, you know what you're saying is so valuable, and it's kind of the what's below the radar kind of conversation about what's really going on in the culture and what's really taking place. And quite frankly, most, you know, good leaders that I talk to don't recognize or realize that good people can create terrible cultures. It's almost like if you think you've got a great culture, then you're probably wrong, and you might have a good one, but if you don't look below the surface and really measure it and find out what's really going on in the meetings, behind the meetings, or get third-party input, or get an assessment that that gives people the opportunity to say what they really think and act like they really feel and is safe, you may think you have a great culture and could really have a terrible one, is what I hear you saying. I mean, is that what it is?
I definitely think that that is possible, that you may have a blind spot where you think that you have successfully empowered people, and you think that people are bought in, and you think that people are treating each other with respect, when really, you know, no one can be everywhere, and no one can hear every conversation, and no one is on every email thread. So there is always a certain amount of you don't know what you don't know, which is, again, why that, you know, are you seeing silence in meetings and is everyone agreeing, is actually a bad sign. Because if people are always agreeing and you don't feel like you're having regular, heartfelt, you know, powerful conversations with people, then you probably don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
No,
yeah. So very true.
We're going to go to a break, and then we are going to ask the next segment, the last segment we have with Sarah, we're going to ask a question of that we've never asked on Excellent Cultures, ever. We've never asked any person we've interviewed this question we're going to ask today. You'll have to tune back in and see what it is. We'll be right back. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.
Remember Ross Perot, the Texas millionaire who ran for president in the early 90s? Did you realize that he's built multiple companies that sold for billions? Each of his companies held a strong values-based culture. We interviewed his CFO and COO. His insightful comments on the role of culture in business are posted on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com. Take a look. You'll gain wonderful insights to building your own excellent cultures on excellentcultures.com. You can also follow us at XLNTcultures or Facebook/excellentcultures.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
As an executive, CEO, or business owner, do you find yourself struggling with work-life balance and achieving your goals at work and home? Are you overwhelmed in your workload and feel important things aren't getting done? Our coaches specialize in helping leaders like you overcome challenges and build a plan to recenter their life, to achieve the balance and success you've always hoped for in your business and your personal life. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures about the right plan for you.
We're back, listeners. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We are with Sarah Bird, CEO of Moz.com. What an excellent and intriguing and
COO.
What did I say?
CEO.
I did?
Yeah.
Rand Fishkin. How dare I do that? Yeah. I cannot believe I do that. I even said our show name wrong last week.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Well, but that's
too much coffee.
That's because you're so intelligent and like to debate so much.
Well, you know, at least I can take a little criticism right now that I did something wrong. And plus, it's recorded. We can go back in the tape. I wish every conversation could be recorded.
No, we're leaving this on.
Anyways, COO of Moz.com. And like I said, we led in to this last segment before the break on that we're going to ask Sarah a question we've never asked any of our interviewees ever on Biz Culture Matters. And so here it is. Sarah, so this is the question. What are some of the potential downsides of having a really strong culture? Hold on. I've got to keep pumping it up. We've never had that conversation with anybody.
Yeah, you're right. We haven't.
We've never asked anybody that. And, cause we are promoting strong culture, but what are the downsides? Okay. Now that I've thoroughly pumped it up.
Great. I think this is, really a powerful topic because it is one that can kind of spin out of control, and that so many people, you know, you really need to help them get started, that you don't want to, like, you know, shortcut the conversation to, like, oh, be careful, there's lots of problems. But I think it's very important to be transparent and authentic about challenges. So for our culture of tag fee, one of the downsides, I think, is velocity. We lose a little velocity when you are focused, as we are, on empathy and on sharing information, being transparent. Decision-making slows down. You just get less done because you have to spend more chunk of your time, you know, sharing the information. We have a big commitment to that. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, writing up summaries and project statuses and sharing those out. And then as a team member, you know, you want to try to read as many of those as you can so you know what's going on. Similarly, when you care about empathy and you genuinely care about other people's input, that means you actually have to listen. And good listening takes time. You know, you've got to set aside time aside, and you've got to make yourself truly available and create a safe place. And that doesn't happen, you know, in 30 seconds. That's a commitment. So you have to be willing to take a little bit of a productivity hit with the hopes that you may move slowly, but the quality of that discussion will be better.
And obviously
the quality of the decisions will
be better. And obviously that hasn't led to a slowing, or maybe a slowing, but not, I mean, your guys' company is still
grown. You don't get to be the top expert in a field in the world because
right.
You're going slow.
Yeah.
But I think it's almost like what Sarah is saying here is so valuable.
It's huge.
Because, I mean, what we learned from our 25 years of work with Toyota is that the philosophy is slow, 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 and then quantum leap.
Right.
And that sure. all of this, you know, caring and good solid communications and good interactions slows you down. But when you're taking the quantum leap and your competitors are still scratching their heads, huge difference. Keep talking about that, Sarah, because so many people are so busy running so hard and so fast that never take time to listen. Tell us some more about the downsides of, you know, putting caring over velocity or listening over, we got to have it now.
Or would you agree with what we just said?
Yeah, I agree with what you just said. I do think that it's, you know, it's a long-term game. Like, that's how we choose to run our business.
That's huge.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think that other people choose to run their businesses differently, and they maybe have great success with it. I'm sure they have. There are many businesses who aren't techy who are extremely successful, right? And that's great for them, and I don't want to be preachy that everyone needs to do culture the way we're doing culture, because it's a very personal thing that you've got to be actually committed to make it work for you. If you're not authentic about your commitment, it's not going to work. So from a long-term perspective, we're very committed to this, and that's what we want to do. No one here is motivated and excited about, you know, the next 2 years. We're all trying to build something lasting and that we can be proud of. And that's legacy stuff. That's not
right.
You want to create a legacy. You don't just want to make a quick buck. So I think, you know, that's part of getting the right people, like-minded people on the bus. You know, another challenge, I think, of having a really strong culture, one I mentioned earlier, is you have to pay extra attention to diversity. You have to be very sensitive to the fact that some things that you might feel are a statement of your values are not actually related to your values, that there could be other ways of doing it that are consistent with your values, and that, you know, your habits of a culture could accidentally be excluding people who would be great fits on your team, and you're just not giving it a shot, right? So I think an interesting conundrum right now, we tend to have a lot of, you know, young people who are very outgoing. And part of that is because we had a core of those people in the beginning, and then we get so much talent from people doing great referrals to us. We build our team a lot through referrals. But I don't think we have the diversity that I would love to see here because of that referral relationship. And it's really flattering. But the truth is we all hang out with people who are mostly like us.
That's true. Yeah.
So how do you break that mold? You know, how can you do recruiting and be sensitive to, well, I may not be having as easy conversation with this person as other folks on my team, but they're probably still really good at their jobs and are probably still perfectly capable of living the values. They're just different than I am. They just, you know, maybe they're shy and they have different interests and different backgrounds. And
that's a hard thing for us all to swallow.
Yeah.
Like, it is. That's a tough pill to choke down. I mean, it's just because we all assume. I love how you separated what you're feeling may actually not be a value, but just your way of doing things that you think is a value that everybody should have. You know, it's like that's a huge clarification factor that we all need to self-examine all the time.
Right. Yeah. So there's no like quick fix to this one from a culture perspective. It's more just, you know, helping everyone be mindful about that and talking about that this is a risk of the culture that we all just need to be very intentional about and aware. I think another interesting risk of our culture that we have to really lean into is that in a culture where relationships become so important, right, because we have a lot of fun together, it's the F and tag V, right? We are very empathetic,
right.
So we spend a lot of time being relationship-focused and thinking about the other person's feelings, that it can make disagreement very challenging. And you really have to constantly talk and remind people that tag V doesn't mean you don't disagree. It means that it's important how you disagree, but not that you disagree.
That's very well said.
So.
It's important that you disagree, but how you disagree may not be consistent with your values.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's huge. So what do you do to keep people disagreeing in a manner that is upfront and candid and serious and robust, but consistent with your values?
you know, that's one of those just multifaceted approaches to try to help keep us all using this muscle. Because I actually do think that this one in particular, the understanding how to disagree, that's a muscle, and it's something that it's not like you master, you know, once through a great workshop or something, and then you're great at it forever. It does take a lot of practice. You have to do it consistently, and we have a lot of skill building around that from different approaches. Like we mentioned before, some of it is like on the spot kind of interruptions or check-in, like, hey, let's talk a minute about this process, this conversation we're having. This feels like it's getting like weirdly emotional and heated, you know. Some of it is using the external coaches to help people build those skills. Some of it is experts we bring in from outside the organization to teach different communication styles and how to go beyond just expressing, you know, your viewpoint to also seeking feedback. And how do you encourage and create a safe environment for people to give feedback? All that kind of stuff. So it's a multi-pronged approach. And there is no one like, oh, we did it and we're done. It's just a constant, you know, reminder from many different areas in the organization about expectations.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I admire listeners so much about Sarah is in our research process, we do a lot of scouting around. And when I was attending the best companies to work for presentations, of all the companies I heard, Sarah's the only one who really got deep. It wasn't about benefits or free beer or, you know, parties or ping pong tables. It was about what's really going on in people's hearts.
Amazing. Sarah, we're out of time. Thank you so, so much. This was an amazing show. We're looking forward to having you on again sometime.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about culture and listening to your guys' viewpoint. I learned some things too.
Awesome. Well, you've been listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM. Tune in iTunes, excellentcultures.com. We'll be back next week. See you soon.
ExcellentCultures.com is always interviewing leaders committed to cultural leadership, excellence, and change. These leaders, like Russell Freeman, Ross Perot's COO, and Bob Hinton, CPA and Moss Adams Managing Partner, have world-class ideas. As advocates for creating a strong corporate culture that builds people and serves customers with excellence, they share breakthrough business ideas. Gain insights from Russell, Bob, and others on the Culture News blog at excellentcultures.com.
Off-the-cuff management is old school at the very least. With culture at the root of every business problem or success, data-driven strategic leadership is where today's best businesses are focused. No one knows that better than Excellent Cultures. After 35 years, they are the Northwest's premier strategic leadership firm. Excellent Cultures has the expertise to read the soul of your business and generate abundance. Take the free Biz Culture MRI or ask the experts at excellentcultures.com.
Has business taken over your life? Are you living to work or working to live? Stress, broken marriages, neglected relationships, and poor health are symptoms of a life out of balance. The right coaching plan can have transformational impact on the quality of your performance at work, depth of relationships at home, and personal sense of well-being. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work. Stop struggling to survive. Ask the experts at Excellent Cultures how coaching can help you maximize your life and optimize your work.